giving a lot around here. And I'm sure there are times when you wonder if giving really makes a difference, or maybe you get tired of giving. I think about the Love Bucket. I think about Ukraine and the Red Cross, Maui and the kids' camp, the addiction group, a mom and her son who came to this country to get a stem cell transplant. There is so much need out there. And I think of some of you and your families, that sometimes someone's in trouble in your family or someone needs something and you give and you give and you give, and you really, all you want is a thank you and maybe a little appreciation. Sometimes it's the little moments in life that give us hope. This morning I was thinking about September 11th. I was thinking about the prayer book and some of the stuff that we stand for, and it was still dark, and I sit in a chair on my front porch and I talk to the flag in my front yard. I was thankful that I could make coffee this morning, that I could water my flowers, that the flag was waving. I thought of all the people that have fought and died so that flag can be there. I think of all the little things I'm going to do today and the people I'm going to meet, and just wondering if I'll take the time to say thank you. And then the flag and I had a little conversation. I said, "Flag, I worry about you. I worry about us. We're just too divided. And so often we're just too angry." And the flag looks at me and says, "Well, Reverend, you know, we need more patriots." And I said, "What's a patriot? What does that mean?" And the flag says, "Well, being a patriot, it's more than wearing the flag shirt like you are or saluting the flag. We need people who live the flag, who take what that flag means and they tuck it inside the very guts and fiber of who they are. And in the way they work and care and give unto others and treat others, then the spirit of that flag comes alive. That's what we need. You can have all the flags in the front yard you want, Don, but tuck it inside your heart and walk with it every day." So I'm sitting on my front porch, dark, lonely, and I flash back maybe 52 years ago when I used to sit on my grandpa's front porch in Roseland, and I'd sit there on the porch, and he had just got done cutting his lawn. His lawn was about the size of my office, and he had one of those lawn mowers that didn't have a motor. It just went like that, and it didn't really cut the grass. It just kind of bent the grass. And then afterwards, he'd have his undershirt on, and a guy that big shouldn't be wearing undershirts. He'd be listening to the White Sox on the radio. He'd have a can of Ham's beer in his hand. He spoke broken English, came here from Sweden when he was 16, and became a citizen, and God, he was so proud to be an American. He loved it because he had a chance to make something of his life. He was kind of a rough carpenter, which in English means not a very good carpenter, but he was a rough carpenter. And he was so rich. I mean, I got quarters. He had a bamboo fishing pole. He just loved his country. And I remember talking to my dad after I was at my grandpa's house. I said, "Dad, Grandma and Grandpa, they're the richest people in the world." And my dad looked at me with his eyes. He said, "Don, they're not rich in the way you think. Yeah, they have quarters and a bamboo fishing pole, but they don't have any money. They're pretty much broke all the time. But you see, your grandparents give you out of their poverty, not out of their abundance. You know, people like us, we give out of our abundance, what's left over. They give unto others, and especially to you, the grandkids, from the very guts and fiber of who they are." My grandpa was a patriot. The flag waved in his heart in the way he treated others. And so today on Patriot Sunday, I think of him, and I'm sure you think of people too. You know, after 9/11, 22 years ago, in many ways our country came together, probably for all the wrong reasons, but oftentimes when there's a tragedy, all those barriers break down, we don't think of our differences, we just come together to survive every day. I had a couple of incidents this week, and I don't know if I'll explain it right, but you see, when I go do stuff, you do stuff and I do stuff. When I do a baptism or a wedding or a funeral, I carry you with me. It's not me. It's the church. The first thing is a lady whose mom passed away this week. And I guess she was like 16, 17, or 18 when she would start coming to youth group stuff with one of her friends. And then, like a lot of people, they just went their own way, never saw her again. Well, she's 56 years old now, and her mom passed away, and so she goes to the funeral home. And she said, do the funeral, and I need someone to do the service. And then she said, that All Saints place, is it still there? And he goes, not only is the church still there, the old guy is still there. She said, you mean Don? I said, yeah. So I go to do the funeral, and there's four people there. And she comes up to me, and we embrace. It's been a long time. She said, there's only four people here. So you don't have to wear the robe, and you don't have to say much. I'm sorry there's only four people here. And I said, hey, you're getting the full banana, whether there's four people or not. Well, my full banana is not that long, but we had the service, and it was very meaningful. And it did something for her and to her. But you see, you teach me to do that kind of stuff. It'd be easy to say not to do that kind of stuff. I haven't seen you for a long time, four people. But see, that's not the way you are. And so the church is there to make a difference to somebody that you don't even know. The other one is, I don't even know if I'll explain it right, but this African-American lady goes to Silver Lake Country Club to plan a wedding for her and her partner. And so she's sitting down with Amy to talk about the wedding, and she said, I know our wedding's not going to be the traditional wedding that you have here usually, but do you think there's anybody in the community, that any church that would possibly have the minister do our wedding? And she said, I know exactly who to call. Here's the number. And they came in, and we talked about the service. And I got to the service a bit early. And the father of one of the brides was having a cocktail at the bar before the service. And he said, Reverend, come over here, please. And I sat with him, and he got kind of teary-eyed. And he said, and he always talked about the church. He said, I want to thank your church for making my daughter's wedding special. And I said, I haven't done it yet. Yeah, but they're so grateful. I mean, they have a little hunk of church here for the wedding. And I said, I did, he was an interesting guy, so I kind of laughed, and I said, how did your daughter and her wife pick an old Swedish guy like me to do the wedding? And he said, it's not about being old and Swedish and white. It's about being kind and open and accepting. And that's why you're here. And I just want to say thank you. And I was standing up. The wedding was packed. It was outside by the lake at Silver Lake. Every chair was filled. And I looked over the audience, the congregation. I'm the only Caucasian person there. On the one hand, that says something about the fact that, well, I guess we're not quite united yet. But the spirit in that area let me know that there was an openness, that it almost inspired me to realize that it wasn't about the color we are, it wasn't about the religion, it was about that acceptance of who we are as God's children. In some ways, yes, we are still divided. But not really when it comes to that flag that burns deep inside of each one of us. During the service, I looked at her dad in the front row, and he nodded, and I nodded. He smiled, and I smiled, and I knew that in him I had discovered a patriot. Amen. If you're able to, please rise for the creed.